You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Which coast?
Traveling east to west.
Aaron Ladd.
Yo!
Mark Gunnels.
At the house, audience.
Chiefs coast to coast.
What's up, Mr. Ladd? How you doing, man?
I'm feeling good, man. Got the pre-show nap in. What about yourself?
I got the pre-game nap in as well, man.
Great minds thinking alike. I think we in sync here, going into week three on coast to coast.
Yeah, man. I feel refreshed. Ready for another week of football. Last week was crazy.
Do you have your phone on do not disturb? That's the real question. Because yeah. I know somebody's going to call. Somebody's going to do this.
Yeah, I do have it actually on do not disturb. I just did it. So I'm ready to go.
I'm so proud of you. The maturity is coming through.
Hey, man, if you don't grow, what are you doing in this world?
Hashtag be great. That's something Mark Gunnels.
There you go.
How's the family? How's the West Coast? What's life like over there in LA?
Well, it's good, man. It's about 75 degrees right now. Pretty windy. The summer's pretty much over at this point, so about to get some fall weather in California. I can't wait. Hoodie weather, baby.
Yeah, we're getting to that point, too. It was supposed to be like mid-90s, mid to low 90s in KC, but the cold front just came in. You know, it's cuffing season. I don't know if you know what that's about.
Well, you know, I'm already.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I don't know what your situation is like over there. I'm not sure.
You watching from the sidelines, I see.
You know? Yeah, I'm watching you, man. I'm cheering you on in the front row on courtside, baby.
You a funny guy. Hoodies, hey, indeed.
Speaking of being field side, man, how was Arrowhead last Thursday?
Yeah, I was in the building from the whole home opener. It was interesting with the Thursday. I didn't know. I should have just assumed that it was going to be packed out because the fans were ready and they had a couple beverages by the time kickoff hit. The tailgate gates got open an hour early due to just the insane traffic that there was in Arrowhead, but it was nuts, man. I will say I've never been like starstruck. I usually try to say I've never been starstruck, but seeing Jeff Bezos, that was nuts, man.
Oh yeah. I saw that on the, they were showing that on the broadcast on TV.
And broadcast
was clean too, by the way.
I didn't watch any of it. I heard there were some audio issues, but I mean, it was the first time out, you know, and you knew it wasn't going to be perfect, so to speak.
Yeah, but no, I wish what to say about Bezos.
Oh, $171 billion, man. What you mean? That's different money.
I know
Mahomes is a half a billion dollar man, but Bezos walks into a room of celebrities and clears it, boy.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty festive, man. I mean, Arrowhead looked like it was rocking, you know. Thursday night, home opener. Against the division rival, the team that people think is the only legit challenger in the AFC West. So I think it lived up to the hype.
Let's get into it, man. Episode 25 here of Chiefs Coast to Coast, Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. Aaron Ladd here, Mark Gunnels there on the West Coast. We'll talk a little Chiefs Chargers there as we look back on week two and then preview week three. Big matchup in the AFC with the Chiefs headed out to Indianapolis. Of course, we'll talk a little Willie Gay as well. Then we'll head out to Vegas, man. Wasn't as good of a week as week one, but it was okay. You did all right. You know, you can't win every time. We'll get into Mark Gunnels' winners later in the show. We're going to start how we've been starting recently, and that's with our reviews, man. We asked in the Coast to Coast community delivered. I got some suspicion with this one. I'm kind of curious, man. This review writes in. Arrowhead Pride has been my go-to for Chiefs content. I really enjoy Coast to Coast since they started. Really excited for this season following along. But there's no name. It says they won't take my name. Mark, was this you?
Stop it, man. Come on.
Mark, was this you, man?
Are you really accusing me of this?
I'm just saying, it's a little suspicious. You know, we go on a podcast and say, hey, can y'all leave us some reviews wherever y'all listen to podcasts? And the first one is no name on there. I know you love the podcast, man, but this is for the audience to write in, not for you to boost yourself, man.
It was not me. I'm clearing my name right now. It was not Mark Gunnels. Aaron Ladd always accusing me of stuff. It's really crazy at this point.
Well, I know the Gunnels hive is deep. And I know y'all are everywhere. Y'all in all four corners of the globe. So this felt like your imprint. Whoever it was, we appreciate y'all for rocking with us. Just want to push y'all one more time. If you have a review, good, bad, indifferent, favorite show moment, favorite thing about Coast to Coast or Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network in general, leave a podcast review and we'll try and read it on the air, man. I thought this was cool to get one right off the top.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Obviously, we don't have a name next to it, so I can't say exactly thank you to whoever it was personally. But if you're listening right now, I'm just going to say thank you, Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous.
If you're listening right now, Mark Gunnels is going to cash that check that he owes you for his review. So, Chiefs Chargers 27-24, the final. Chiefs improved to 2-0 for the fifth time in the last 6 years. The first note I wrote down was Jalen Watson, man. Biggest play of the game, biggest play of his young career. And what a moment, what a game-changing moment in that one right there. I mean, what was your reaction to seeing that 99-yard pick six?
Well, my initial reaction was shock and, you know, followed up by yelling in my apartment. And then, you know, scared the people that was next door a little bit. But, you know, it's game day. They know what it is over here at this household. So, yeah, that was my initial raw reaction. But then after I had a chance to really, you know, sit down and digest it, I mean, first of all, Everett, what was he doing? I mean, obviously, I know he was tired, but he just completely gave up on that route. It looked like he had inside leverage. I think that's what Justin Herbert saw. So he threw it to a spot, but obviously Everett was not there. And shout out to Jalen Watson for taking advantage of it and going all the way to the house. I mean, that's a long time to run. What, 99 yards? That's a lot of running. And, you know, it was a guy on his heels for a little bit, but obviously he didn't catch him. And that was the turning point in the game, without question.
Yeah, I want to offer a few numbers on the pick six because there were a lot of numbers around this game, but especially that drive. It feels like a couple turning points in this one. The dropped interception for Patrick Mahomes and this kind of this pick six, two kind of pillar moments in this key divisional battle in the AFC West. Pete Sweeney got this one out. Chiefs winning percentage goes from 34% to 85% on that pick six. I just threw that up in the Jumbotron. A rookie that, you know, not many were maybe counting on to make plays in as big of a moment as this was. He's in the right place at the right time. You touched on the conditioning and what was Gerald Everett there. And I wrote that down as well, just because that seemed to be the talking point from Kansas City's locker room coming out. Not only that play, but kind of that game. We were the more conditioned team, I think is what Justin Reed said, to quote him there. And it showed up specifically at that point in time, the biggest play of the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, because we all know that Andy Reid has one of the hardest training camps in the entire NFL. That's been a thing since he's been a head coach. Everybody knows that. And obviously, he plays his guys in the preseason, and the Chargers don't at all. And a lot of these new, young, you know, innovative head coaches don't play their guys in the preseason. Sean McVay doesn't. You know, and I can name other ones as well. So I do think there is something to that, especially early in the season when guys are still trying to get their feet wet, get into a rhythm, you know, regain that chemistry from last year, or even when you got new guys trying to get some chemistry at all. And the Chargers do have a lot of new guys on their team, especially on defense. And that was J.C. Jackson's first game as well. And you see that Justin Watson embarrassed him on that one-on-one opportunity on that deep post route. So I do think there is something to that. I think as teams get closer to, you know, the midway mark, you start seeing everything kind of balance out. But considering how hard the Chiefs go before the actual regular season, I do think they have an advantage, especially in September. And that's probably why you see Andy Reid have this great record and Mahomes is like the best quarterback ever in September. And I think that has something to do with it.
The September numbers speak for themselves, not only for Mahomes and Andy Reid. You kind of touched on Justin Watson. What a big touchdown for Kansas City there on third down. It's just I almost tweeted this out. I think a couple people kind of noted it as well, but an unlikely touchdown trio for Kansas City. As much as we like to talk about, oh, Juju's going to do this for this offense, and can't wait to see what MVS does, and Sky Moore, and as well as Clyde has played through two games, to have the two Watsons and Jerick McKinnon score your only touchdowns in what could be a division-deciding game. I know it's early. And there's going to be some people hitting the yellow lights out there, but to have such an unlikely trio score a touchdown for you, it shows how balanced you are. It shows that at any point in time, you're going to count on somebody to make a play, whether it's whether it's your third string, quote unquote, running back in the passing game, or your seventh string cornerback coming in and making one of the biggest plays of the game. It needs to come from everywhere for KC.
Yeah, are your wide receiver five and Justin Watson as well. So, and that kind of goes back to what Patrick Mahomes was saying before the season. It's going to come from everywhere. You know, I'm sorry for the fantasy owners, basically, is what he said. I'm paraphrasing, because it's not going to be the same steady guy every week. The closest you may get to that is Travis Kelce, and even he had a quiet game on Thursday. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a testament to the depth on this roster. The scouting department, obviously Brett Veach, Andy Reid, all in that room. And, I mean, like you said, man, the seventh round pick in this year's draft made the play of the game in a divisional game that could end up, like you said, I know it's early, but every divisional game counts, man. You got to stack these wins up early because they're going to count at the end of the season. So that could have been a division-winning play. I mean, if you look back on it, so we'll see.
I see you just shot me this note about the AFC West not being as good as you expected. It's a little early to call that, man. We 2 weeks in, you already disappointed in the AFC West?
I mean, the Raiders are 0-2. You saw how they lost that game against the Cardinals, who the Chiefs blew out. I mean, I think everybody thought the Raiders would win that game, and they lost the game in typical Raider fashion. And then the Broncos, I mean, yeah, they won this past week, but it was ugly. I mean, their fans were booing throughout the entire game. They're still having problems with the game clock and getting plays in time. Hackett looks like it's too much for him. I don't know, man. I think I don't know. So, and we already knew heading into the season, there was a big coaching advantage the Chiefs had over all the other teams. But I think Brandon Staley, he's in year two. I think he's going to be pretty good this year. But Hackett and Josh McDaniels, I mean, to me, I think it's clear that the Chiefs and Chargers are the top two teams in the AFC West. I think the other two are not in the same tier. I mean, is that fair to say? Would you agree with that?
I would tend to say it's still very early. And I saw Nick Jacobs does great work for us at 41 and is always here on Chiefs Twitter talking about how these next few – I mean, obviously, starting on the right foot is important, but – you know, this is when you really find out who teams are. There's starting to be a little bit of adversity. There's injuries piling up. There's guys who you expected to be there that weren't going to be there. I would say so far, yes, it's been disappointing, but I think that this division is going to be a little bit sloppier. Maybe you don't have the high 13-12 win team that we were counting on. Maybe everybody's stuck together at 8-9-10-11.
Nah, there's no way the Chiefs and Chargers will be down there. I think those teams are at least winning 11 games. I think the Chiefs win 12. I think the Chargers win 11 or 12 as well. Yeah, you're tripping on that one. I ain't going to lie to you. You're tripping on that one.
That's fine. I'll be on the other opposite side of the street as you, per usual. I want to update these September numbers because we were talking about how the Chiefs own September. This tweet from Adam Schefter that I just threw up on the Jumbotron was after week one, so I'm going to try and update this a little bit on the fly. Through 15 career September games, Patrick Mahomes has 48 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, 15 career September games. The Chiefs have won 13 of those 15 games. I mean, speaks to just how St. Joe gets KC prepared to start the ground running.
Yeah, and I mean, it got you prepared too. I mean, I heard you had a great performance during your home opener Thursday night.
Hey, was a good day on the bird. I can't even lie. It was a decent day.
Yeah, see,
on the
got sources. I got people watching you. I got eyes on you, man. I knew you was on the bird, man. I know where you be at. You know what I'm saying? I got to keep tabs on you out there, man. Make sure you in the good areas. So, yeah, I knew what you was on.
You a funny guy, man. Let's move on to the story of what it seems like the week has been on Chiefs Twitter. Chiefs Coast to Coast, Aaron Ladd, Mark Gunnels, episode 25 here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. Kind of a surprise, man. I saw you reeling when Willie Gay's suspension was announced. He's going to miss the next four games for Kansas City. I guess we can do a little bit of initial reactions, but kind of want to see how you think this impacts Kansas City's defense.
Hold on. First of all, let's address you being surprised and me reeling. What did you see that made you feel that way?
Well, you were like, oh, I'm beside myself right now. I don't even know what KC is going to do. Like, you were a member of the defensive coaching staff reeling on the timeline. I'm like, Mark, you losing sleep over this?
Oh, okay. First, see, this is why I have to do some realignment on this show, because Aaron likes to take things and stretch the truth out, and then it turns into a lie. So I have to make sure I'm informing the public, you people listening right now, the truth. I was not reeling. I was obviously disappointed because I do like Willie Gay's speed on this defense. He brings an element that we don't have, in my opinion. A guy that can go sideline to sideline. He's really good in pass coverage. So there is going to be a loss there. There's no denying that. You'll be delusional if you don't agree to that. And I would say that you don't think Willie Gay is that good. And I really do think Willie Gay has Pro Bowl potential. So it is a loss for sure. But like back to the depth I was talking about, I do think, you know, it's four games. I do think they can manage these four games without him. I think Spags is going to have to be a little more creative in his coverages, maybe even give guys more help in certain areas. I'm curious to see what this means for Chanel. I mean, obviously, he's not the guy that's replacing Willie Gay. He's still on his side. But I do think this will present more different packages for him to get more snaps. And he's been playing actually a pretty good amount, which has surprised me even to this point, even with Willie Gay in the lineup. So I think they'll be fine, especially in this matchup. I mean, the Colts are a very run-heavy team, or at least they should be. I don't know why JT only had 8 carries last game against Jacksonville. That's still very weird to me. But I think that's even more emphasis on why he will carry the ball a lot more this week, because they're going to want to keep Patrick Mahomes and that offense off the field. And I think up front, in the front seven, they still have enough there to contain JT, stack the box. You're not really scared of their receivers. I know Pittman's going to be back. Alec Pierce, the rookie, is probably going to play. He practiced today as well. But none of those guys strike fear in my heart. So I would press coverage those guys, stack the box, and make Matt Ryan beat you, because I don't think he can at this point in his career.
That last one was personal. I could feel it just in how the way you said it.
What part?
You know, man, make Matt Ryan beat you. You know,
yeah. Oh, did I say it with like an extra emphasis?
It was a little extra oomph in your voice. Like, you just wanted to. I can sense the passion with this one. We're talking Willie Gay, his suspension, going to miss the next four games, dealing with that arrest from earlier this year. I guess I'm sure. Go ahead. Call me yellow light, whatever you want to say. I'm not as optimistic in his absence that Darius Harris can just step in and it'll be as seamless. I think this is going to be one of the bigger challenges for KC in this toughest 8-game stretch in NFL history. It gets even tougher now with you missing a starting linebacker, Trent McDuffie's absence. Obviously, Kansas City was going to face adversity throughout this season. And it comes here in week three. I put a couple tweets up on the Jumbotron, one of them from Nate Taylor, who says that the 4-game suspension was the final resolution. I know a lot of people were pushing, oh, why doesn't he appeal it? Why doesn't he appeal it? 4 games seems a little heavy-handed, which is even something that I said right away. But the suspension is a suspension. You can't argue with the timing of it. I know a lot of Chiefs fans were like, oh, this happened so long ago. Why couldn't he have just started it in week 1? Yada, yada, yada. KC's just going to have to deal with it. And this is why you prepare for those type of situations. Mark talked to the depth. And kind of guys behind him. You mentioned Leo Chanel, and I saw Harold Koontz talk with him today out at the Chiefs facility. Busy day at a busy day out there at the two stadiums, by the way. But Leo's going to see some more opportunities. He struggled in pass coverage, which got a lot of press early in training camp. But, you know, you make the 53, there's 9 times out of 10, your number's going to get called and people are going to look at you to step up at a moment's notice. And here's that moment. While it's Darius Harris is the first man up, Leo's going to have to step in and fill that void.
Yeah, man, and I don't think it's going to be a seamless, you know, just plug-and-play thing. Like I said, Willie Gay, to me, I think really high of his potential, and I think he was just starting to flash it, which is very, very frustrating because it seems like that's always the case. Like, even in previous years, he'll start to flash and look good, and then, oh, an injury happens, right? And then now this year, a suspension. So it's just very, very frustrating because I just want to see him reach his full potential, especially during the stretch. When you got these upcoming games against very, very potent offenses. Now, not the Colts, but then you got the Bucks. The Raiders have very high ceiling. And then, obviously, he's going to miss the Bills game, which is really, really going to suck. So, yeah, I mean, it's very unfortunate, the timing more so than anything.
I'm looking at Willie Gay's numbers so far this year. Two games started, 2 pass. Deflected, 16 total tackles, 8 of them being solo and 2 for loss, including a quarterback hit. Look, he was flying around the ball Thursday night, and I remember just talking with Harold off the record and be like, hey, maybe he knew something was coming just with how ferocious he was playing, and it seemed like he was trying to make 30 tackles at once. But it's no doubt that not only they're going to miss his presence on the field, but kind of the juice he brings to that locker room and that unit. This is a guy that's football first. I think Andy Reid even mentioned specifically, you know, it's going to be a tough 4 games for him. But we got to have more serious dialogue when it comes to mental health. This is a guy that came out last year and was like, you know, I'm dealing with a lot of stuff. You know, I'm in the league and making a lot of money and living out my dreams. People think everything's peachy and that kind of thing. But I think sometimes we throw this blanket on mental health and think that it's going to be a rosy conversation or that it always looks good. But there's a lot that we don't know here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think sometimes fans forget that these guys are actual human beings. And, you know, they have a lot of stuff going on outside of football like we do in our real life, outside of wherever we work at. So it's the same thing, man. You know, it's just that they're making millions of dollars and we're not, but it doesn't change the fact that these guys are human. They have real emotions and, you know, they have to take care of their mental health just like everybody else does. So, yeah, absolutely, man.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a 2-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back." If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
Chiefs will be without Willie Gay for the next four games. It is, I just lost the schedule. He'll be back after the Bills game. Let's transition into our Colts preview, if that's cool with you, Mark. And then I see a couple of audience hands up. I see y'all. I'm rocking with y'all. We will get y'all in at the end of the show. Love talking to y'all. Love making y'all part of the program here. Andy Reid said something that I think he always says. Not only is he looking forward to the challenge of playing Indianapolis, but said specifically, ignore their record. This is a good team. Is this a good team, Mark? Be honest, because their first 2 weeks, they hadn't really put out a great product.
No, right now they're not a good team, but it's kind of unfair to judge them because they haven't even been close to 100%. And the guys they've been missing are key guys. It's not like you're just missing, you know, one of the worst guys in their starting lineup. They're missing arguably the best linebacker in football, Shaq Leonard, who should probably be back this week. They were missing their number one receiver last week and Michael Pittman. And they were missing Alec Pierce, who they picked in the second round at wide receiver. So, I mean, you insert those guys this week, you were instantly a much better team than you were against Jacksonville in week two. And then obviously they didn't have Leonard in week one or week two. So you're getting the best linebacker back against the Chiefs. So yeah, we can really judge them after in this game and the next couple games when they're mostly at full. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I mean, obviously they're not a good team because they just lost 24-0 to Jacksonville. I mean, obviously, like I said, despite the people missing, still kind of bad not to score even a single point in Jacksonville. It's pretty bad. And, you know, there's a question out there to see. I mean, I'm not willing to say it yet, but through the first two games, is Matt Ryan washed? I mean, we see quarterbacks that, you know, look good.
Stop it.
Up until there. I know you're, I forgot you're an Atlanta guy, so you got a little personal bias here. I forgot about that.
Be respectful. But, watch yourself.
But I mean, we've seen guys fall off the cliff when it's least expected. You know, you just really can't predict it. And I mean, his arm does look pretty noodle-ish. I mean, you would be naive not to agree with that.
Yo,
after
you
the
wild
first two games.
Skip Gunnels has entered the chat.
Wow, because I said, is his arm not noodle-ish right now?
How do you determine if somebody's arm is noodle-ish? Is that a scientific
you could
rating?
Just the velocity off the ball, you know, next-gen stats and stuff like that, you know?
I'm not willing to say he's washed yet, but I agree with you, and I'm kind of calling cap on what Big Red said. This isn't a good team. Maybe they get a little extra juice because it is the home opener. Haven't been home yet this season.
I mean, what is Big Red going to say? This is a bad team we're
playing
this week.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when they played the Jets my first season here, and the Jets were like a one-win team. And heck, he said this about the Falcons when the Falcons came in here, and they were like a three-win team. They almost won that game, but I don't know. You can't overlook anybody in this league. And he says it for a reason. Whether there is some cap in there or not, I'm going to take him on his face value. I think Indy is dangerous. And while Matt may not be at the peak of his powers anymore, I'm not that naive and would say that he's still a top-flight quarterback. There's playmakers around the ball, and you're down a couple starters on defense any given Sunday in this league. I'm looking at the injury report now. Looks like Pierce and Pittman came back to practice in some form for Indianapolis on Wednesday when we're recording this. Something to monitor as the week continues for Kansas City. It's Harrison Butker and Mike Dana logging DNPs with their injuries. Mecole Hardman, a limited participant with a heel injury. So I don't know, man. If you ask me on paper, this should be a win for Kansas City. But I tend to agree with Big Reed and throw the yellow up, man. I'm true to my nature. What can I say?
Yeah, I mean, are we giving score predictions right now? We're doing that right now?
I'm going to let you handle that. I got one more piece of news that I want to ask you about before we head out to Vegas. I don't want to give any losers out. I'm feeling very – even though I am feeling good about fantasy, I've only lost one matchup across four leagues through 2 weeks. But
oh, man, congrats to you on that, man.
It's early. Hey, appreciate you, big dog. Appreciate you.
Yeah, but no, I would like the Chiefs to win this game by 2 touchdowns.
Shocker.
I mean, the Colts, I mean, look at the line. The Chiefs are favored. The Chiefs are 6.5 favorites on the road. How often do you see that? You rarely see a team on the road favored by that many points. So Vegas is telling you this is going to be a double-digit win. And the Colts, like I said, Matt Ryan is not the same guy anymore. His arm was never even that strong to begin with, and now it's even less at this point in his career. And like I said, now you're going to have extra possessions because I don't think the Colts are going to be able to sustain drives in this game. Like the Chargers, they did really good at ball control and converting on third down. I think the Colts are going to struggle in that department in this game, which means more possessions for Patrick Mahomes in this offense, and they're going to score 30-plus.
Sounds like we're headed out to Vegas. I'm going to give your predictions. Well, first and foremost, was that an official one? Are you putting that down as one of your locks of the week for this game?
Yeah, Chiefs minus 6.5. Yeah,
Chiefs minus 6.5. Well, let's go back first and review from week two. This was your Chiefs and Chargers predictions. You said Mecole Hardman over on the receiving yards, 36.5. What was the official number? I know it hit.
He ended up with, I think, 49.
And that was a good call. 49 yards, correct there. So that was the win. And then you had Mahomes over rushing yards, 16.5.
He didn't even run the ball at all.
Chiefs minus 4, which was the backdoor of the century, but you could have seen it.
I got backdoor by a guy that had rib problems.
That was a hell of a throw, especially for him to come back in that way. It was a nerve wracking moments there. But Mark goes 1-for-2 in week 2. That brings your record overall, I believe, to
5-2.
5-2 for the year. So everybody's still got their home. You've already given out one winner, hopefully, for week number 3. What are the other ones, Mark?
Yes, I got Chiefs minus 6.5. I'm going to take the over on Travis Kelce receiving yards at 73.5. I think this number is really low considering what he did last week. And I know he had a bad week last week for stats. So that's why I'm saying that. Because I think they're putting too much stock into what happened last week against a very, very good Chargers defense, very physical defense. And the Colts, the way their scheme, especially with Gus Bradley, the middle of the field is going to be open a lot in this game. And Mahomes kills Gus Bradley's defenses. He was the DC for the Raiders last year. So you know how those two games went. They scored over 40 in each game. So obviously he has better personnel with the Colts, but I still think they're going to be able to throw the ball around a lot. And I think Kelce is going to eat, especially indoors. We know Mahomes' stats in the domes. So I think Kelce has a big day. And you know what? That's all I got for you today, this week. That's all I got. You know, every week you don't got to have 3 or 4 plays, you know. I don't got to force plays if I don't like them. So I only like 2 plays this week.
He's staying confident with his 2 plays, and we will keep you accountable. We'll track those and keep them back here on our next episode of Coast to Coast. This is my last thing before we take audience questions. I see a couple people with their hands up. Appreciate y'all waiting. Sky Moore only got 2 offensive snaps. I know it's been your guy. I know on this platform previously you said he was better than Mecole Hardman, should be getting the work. The lion's share of the workload, all of the above.
You love throwing that out there, don't you?
I even tweeted this out. I'm patient on this. I feel like there's enough ball to go around. Sky Moore is a rookie. He's shown that Mahomes will get him the ball. 2 snaps in week 2. I mean, I'm not over the moon about it, but I'm also not worried.
Yeah, I'm not worried. I mean, I even expected maybe not 2 snaps, but I expected him not to really be involved that much early in the season. I've always said wait till about mid-season around the bye to really see him get incorporated in this offense. Now, hopefully it's a lot sooner than that, because I do think from a skill set standpoint, I do think he is ready to play now. I mean, he has the good release, great route runner already, good hands. So I think from that point, he's ready. Now, as far as the playbook and learning all the nuances of it and things of that nature, maybe not, because we know how hard it is to learn the Andy Reid playbook. So maybe he's not all the way there yet, or just maybe, they're trying to give Hardman and MVS and Juju opportunities to prove their worth early on, you know, kind of like a seniority type of thing. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see, but I'm not concerned. I think he adds a new element to this receiving room that they don't have yet. So I cannot wait until he's unlocked.
Let's get to the questions, my man.
Well, what's that sigh for?
Well, you said that they're giving Juju and MVS routes out of seniority, Mark? Come on, dog.
I mean, I think Sky is the more refined route runner than both of those guys. Why is that funny? Have you not seen his film?
I see Man, the Myth, the Legend has speaking access. Let's go ahead.
Wow, Aaron, you are nasty, bro.
Let's go ahead and bring them up.
Hey,
What's up, bro? I'm sorry, what was that?
I was just saying, hey, I was doing too.
Oh, you got a lot of wind in your background. You outside?
Yeah, my fault. Hold on.
We'll get back to you. Hold on. We'll get back to you. My boy outside in Chicago.
You know, people are actually doing the work. Not everybody has, you know, home service and delivery and food. You know, you live in a plush life out there in L.A.
What's up, CJ? How you
Mark,
doing, bro?
Aaron, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, I'm chilling, man.
Yo.
So I'm going to be at the game on Sunday. I just wanted to get y'all takes. What do you think is a bigger matchup? Our O-line against their D-line or our DBs against their receivers?
When you say bigger matchup, like which, like what?
Yeah, like which one do you think is more important?
Which one's more important? You said their D-line against our O-line?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that's definitely more important because we saw last week when the Chargers got to Mahomes, you know, he got a little shaken a little bit. And he kind of rushed things at times, and he wasn't able to really go through his progressions. And I think the Colts pass rush really hasn't been that good. They didn't sack Trevor Lawrence once last week. So, I mean, if they're going to give him a lot of time, especially in a dome and then against that Gus Bradley scheme, I think he's going to pick him apart. So I think that's definitely more important. As far as the result of the game, because I don't really think the Colts receivers are much to be scared of. I mean, I like Pittman, but outside of that, nothing really there I don't think is really coming from them at that point.
I'll agree with Mark on this one. I think everything Kansas City likes to do is predicated off timing and keeping everything on script, and that all starts with the offensive line, keeping Mahomes protected and setting holes for the run game. Jeff Schwartz has done a really good job. Good Twitter follower in the Chiefs community of highlighting some of the run work that they've done with a banged up unit earlier in the year. I think KC's offensive line sets the tone for that offense.
No, I completely agree. Appreciate the time, fellas.
Hey, man. Hey, man, Myth, you ready, bro?
Yeah, I'm ready. What's up, fellas?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing pretty well. I was over here trying to think of a good question I asked you guys, and I think I came up with, how do we feel about our D lineman unit versus their offensive line? We know that their offensive line is not what it used to be in the past. So how do we feel about that? And who do we feel like can expose a matchup?
Yeah, so I know their O line definitely has holes, I believe, at left guard and right tackle, if I'm not mistaken. I know two of those positions for sure are big question marks. I've even talked to several Colts fans, and they've expressed that to me as well as I was doing some research on them. So, yeah, they're definitely able to be had. I mean, Matt Ryan was sacked multiple times last week. He threw three picks because of pressure. So, I mean, I think the Chiefs' D-line, I mean, you invested a lot in this D-line for a reason. So this is a prime game to get after because, let's be honest, the first two games – you went against Kyler Murray. We know how mobile and shifty he is. And then you went against Justin Herbert. He's not as mobile as Kyler, but he's still not a statue back there. He's a guy that can move around, manipulate the pocket, and extend plays. That's not the case here with Matt Ryan. This will be the first, quote-unquote, statue they're facing at quarterback. So if you're not going to get after Matt Ryan, I don't know who you're going to get after.
This man, Mark, said I was doing research, and that research consists of jumping in as many spaces from Indianapolis as he could and getting the pulse of Colts Nation. That's the research, Mark.
Yeah, I was in the horseshoe, man, all week. I've been in the horseshoe. They're actually having a space tonight. I'm probably going to invade as well. You should join me.
I would say if you do that, Mark, you should invite
me. No! I got you.
Let's go on to Colt space tonight, baby.
Yo, don't encourage this behavior, man. I get on Twitter any hour today. Mark Gunnels is in space. It's crazy.
You got anything to add to that, or you want to move on to the next
one? Nah, we can move on. You handled it beautifully, my co-host.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. How you doing, the Oracle?
Hey, yo, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, man.
I got a betting question for y'all. Hey, what do we think about the over? I saw it's at 50.5. I think Jonathan Taylor's due for a positive correction in his touchdown department. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but that's what I'm thinking this week.
Go ahead.
Nah, you the Vegas guy. I don't think 50.5 seems crazy. KC's shown the propensity to score. It's a home opener for Indianapolis. I know they have a noodle arm quarterback, according to my co-host, but at 25 each, that doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility. The only thing that would worry me is Harrison Butker's status for KC. Obviously didn't practice Wednesday. Amendola filled in admirably, but obviously for those longer field goals, you'd like to have 7 back out there.
Yeah, so when I look at over-unders, I try to think of the ceiling and the floor of each team offensively, realistically in that matchup. I think the ceiling for the Chiefs in this game is 40 points. I really do. Considering the potential extra possessions, playing in a dome, and, I mean, like I keep mentioning, man, that Gus Bradley defense, Mahomes kills it every single time. So I think the ceiling is 40. I think the floor is 28. The offense scored 20 last week because obviously 7 was due to the defense. And that was against maybe the best defense they're going to play all season long. And they still scored 20 points. So I think the floor is 28. So, I mean, somewhere in the middle, 34, 35. And that means at that point, the Colts just have to score, what, 16 to 17 points? I think that's very, very doable in this game, especially if it gets out of hand. You know how it is in the fourth quarter. They score a couple garbage touchdowns. So, yeah, I like the over. I like it at 50.5.
I hope you're giving out winners on our platform, man. We're trying to grow our audience, not.
But that's not – don't count that as my official play, though. Like, that was just me giving advice. That doesn't count as my record.
I see how it is.
All right, we got one more up here. Foster, how you doing?
All right.
Whoa, brother.
What's going on, man? Hey. You lost the Midas touch with you inviting folks up, man.
I mean, that was the only, like, well, the other guy, he was in the wind. He didn't know. But, I mean, I'm going to get back to you, bro. I'm going to go to Dylon first. Get your music together. Turn that down, brother. We couldn't hear anything besides your music. It's like using the trap. So let's get that together, my guy. Let's go ahead, Dylon.
Man, it's Dylon. How you going to do me like that?
My bad, Dylon. I always get Dylon, Dylon. I'm sorry.
Nah,
man.
You're so good, man. I think I'm speaking on behalf of most Chiefs fans when they say they've been really disappointed with Clyde's performance the past couple years. He played really well his rookie year, but last year dealt with some injuries. If he's seems a lot more explosive this year, if he continues at the pace he is, do you think the Chiefs will exercise that fifth-year option?
Let me get this from Mark. And this is a good question from our guy, Dylon. I actually asked Clyde about this after that Thursday night game because it seems like we have seen a different guy. He's got the 2 receiving touchdowns in the first week. He looks like a more explosive runner. That 52-yard run against the Chargers, the longest of his NFL career so far. He mentioned having a full offseason. You know, he mentioned the gallbladder surgery the offseason before, and that kind of limited his rehab, limited his ability to get stronger, get faster, more explosive in the offseason. It would be a no-brainer for Kansas City to pick up his options should he continue his production. But, you know, they like to have a lot of different flavors. We've talked about that a lot on this podcast. They like to have a first down back, a second down back, a change of pace guy, a passing game guy. They're one of the few offenses that still holds a fullback in high regard and keeps a fullback on the roster. And Andy Reid talked about that in Monday's availability and how it gives them a lot of different looks. I wish and this is a very popular Instagram caption, I wish the disrespect was as loud as the apology needs to be for Clyde, because he's played well through 2 weeks, Mark.
Yeah, but it's only been 2 weeks. So, like you say, I'm going to be yellow light Mark here on this one. Calm down. He's looking good. He's looking explosive. I'm happy for him. I love it. But can we see it for at least half a season first? That's all I ask. And it's just crazy because you're normally the one that's caution, and you're all in. You're green light lad right now.
I didn't say I was green light, but I said, yo, I mean, folks were.
But you're talking about the captions on Instagram needs to be loud as the disrespect. After two games?
Yo, the conversation in this offseason was, let's package Clyde up plus something else and go get somebody who can actually run the football. And so far through two games, whatever it is, Clyde has shown that he is maybe not who you thought he was when you drafted, but he is a serviceable running back. Eric Bieniemy talked about this in camp, that, you know, Clyde is a great athlete who just happens to play running back. That says a lot to me. That says, you know, we need to figure out a better way, not only Clyde, but also the coaching staff, to get him more of it, get him in positions where he can win and he can benefit this offense. You know, a lot of times when players aren't producing, fans immediately go to that player and say, why aren't you producing? When realistically, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit in the middle. Sometimes it's that molding of scheme and talent, and the Chiefs have done a better job, and Clyde has done a better job so far this year of mixing that scheme and talent and turning it into production.
No, absolutely. I mean, he's definitely been serviceable. I'm not going to deny that at all. I'm just going to say, let's just see it a little bit longer, and I'll be cool with that. But we're done for the day. You got anything else to add?
Yo, you already clocked out. You already got a foot out the door.
The requests are closed, man. The other guy dropped out. I don't know what's going to happen next. We had trap music being played in the background. I don't know what was that about. I mean, you brought your guys from Atlanta up here. What's going on, man?
This is a black platform. Do we have to? You know, there's very few in Chiefs Kingdom. You know, I got to let you know. In case you didn't know.
No, that's very true. That's very, very true. Very true. I just wasn't expecting that. It caught me off guard.
Appreciate y'all rocking with us. We'll recap Chiefs Colts and then preview week 4 next week on Chiefs Coast to Coast. We out.
Let's get it.